to Hawaii, DuPont Pioneer, Dow AgroSciences, Kauai Nursery and Landscaping, County of Kauai, the Garden Island Newspaper, Kong Radio Group, KKCR Kauai Community Radio, FM 97, Hoʻike Community Television, Kauai Digital Marketing, the Kauai Filipino Chamber of Commerce, and I do want to recognize Mark, where's Mark? Mark Perillo, he's the president and CEO of the Kauai Chamber of Commerce. So thank you, Mark. And where is Bobby? There you are. And Bobby Ayanan, who is the board president for the Kauai Filipino Chamber of Commerce. And we're also being broadcast live tonight on both KKCR and Kong Radio. So I just wanted to make sure y'all knew you're being live broadcasted. And Hoʻike Television is also taping this for future play on Hoʻike. So tonight's forum format will be, so earlier we had the candidates flip a coin. And so we determined the order. So Mr. Oi is going to be going first and then followed by our representative Tokioka. And then we are going to switch. So what's going to happen is first we're going to have a two-minute opening statement, and then we're going to ask the questions. And so the first question go to Mr. Oi, and Mr. Tokioka is going to be able to respond to the same question, and then the second question will go to Mr. Tokioka with Mr. Oi being able to respond. And we're going to go through as many questions as we can until our hour is up, and then each candidate will have a two-minute closing statement. We do have two volunteer timekeepers in the front. We have Nancy Kana. She's from the Kauai Board of Realtors, and she has this stoplight-looking timer. Yay, Nancy. And we also have Juna Apala, and she's a board member of the Kauai Filipino Chamber of Commerce, and she's got signs so the audience knows how much time is left. So when we start the time, Nancy will have a green light. When there's 30 seconds remaining, so after the candidates have spoken for a minute and a half, there'll be a 30-second warning. The light will turn yellow, and Juno will hold up that sign. And then with 15 seconds remaining, the light turns red to remind them to wrap it up, and Juno has the 15-second sign. And then if they do make it all the way to 2 minutes, Nancy goes crazy with her light, and everybody knows they have to stop. No. And so that's what's happening with our timekeepers.
Okay, we've got a lot to cover, so I'd like to get started right away. District 15, which is the district that is being contested here with these two gentlemen. Hawaii's District 15 includes the area that stretches from Wailua Homesteads west through Halamaʻulu, Puhi, Kaloa Town, and Omau. The district includes a population of just over 23,000. 78%, or just about 18,000 of the population, are over 18 and eligible to vote. The incumbent is James Tokioka, a Democrat running for re-election. Thomas Oi is also a Democrat running for the same office. There is no Republican nominee for the office in 2016. So this means that one of these two gentlemen will be representing you in District 15 starting next year. And we will start with the opening statements, and Mr. Oi will go first. And Mr. Oi, you can have your opening statement. You have 2 minutes.
Okay. Aloha. My name is Tommy Oi. I'm running for the office of State Representative for District 15. I moved to Kauai with my wife Linda and my son Bryson in 1970. After that, I worked for the state for 25 years at DOT, Department of Transportation, Highways Division, where I was a land surveyor. Then I worked at the Department of Land and Natural Resources. I was the district land manager there. And presently, since 2014, I represent Kauai on the state land board. Presently, I own my own surveying business in Lihue, and so I know the small business difficulty and that small business goes through and get difficulties to the state ever-changing business environment. Now, if elected, My first priority would be the traffic congestion throughout the state of Kauai. I will work with the Department of Transportation and Highway Division to come up with new ideas and new funding sources. Okay. Secondly, I will try to implement more affordable housing by streamlining the permitting process. Thirdly, with the county's problems of raising taxes, I feel that this can be avoided by removing the cap on the GET. My name is Tommy Oy, and I humbly ask for your vote.
Thank you. Mr. Tokioka, you have 2 minutes for your opening statement.
Thank you very much, Chris. Hello, everyone, and thank you for being here tonight. I know many of you have a lot of things to do, whether it's raising your children, feeding them, getting ready for work tomorrow, and everything else that we do here on this beautiful island of Kauai. You know, I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank the sponsors of tonight's event. I wanted to thank the Kauai Filipino Chamber, the Kauai Chamber of Commerce, Kong Radio, KKCR, and everyone else, all of the sponsors here who have put this event together for us tonight. It's great to have these debates because many people, I've been in office for 20 years, so some people have heard me talk about what is important to me, and some people tonight may have never heard me talk about it. So, you know, for those of you listening on the radio, I think this is the opportunity for us to share our experiences with you. I grew up here on Kauai. My family moved here when I was 4 years old. My dad passed away 2 years ago, Thomas Tokioka. My mom, Grace, have been the foundation of, you know, who I am today. I have a great family. I have two children, Pono and Emma, and many of you in this room have been a part of raising my children and the successes that they have had, and I truly appreciate that from everyone in this room tonight. I spent 10 years on the county council before the great Ezra Konoha retired, and I took his advice, and his advice to me was to run for the state house, and I did that in 2006, and I'm proud to say that I've been there for 10 years, and what is very, very important to me is what the people in District 15 think, and what I do every year when session starts is send out a survey. I can't survey the whole district, but I survey half the district, and the feedback that I get from the survey helps me make the decisions that I make. So thank you very, very much, and I look forward to the questions. Aloha.
Thank you. All right, so our first question will go to Mr. Oy first. And the first question is, do you support removal of the current cap on the TAT in order to provide more funding to counties? And you have 2 minutes.
Yes, I support eliminating the cap on the transient accommodation taxes. This, by raising, removing the cap, they would bring additional funds to the county to use for their maintenance of their parks, repairs of the roads, and for their emergency services like lifeguards, fire rescue, and the police. So it is very important that we do remove the cap where that the county would not have to raise taxes or eliminate emergency positions.
Thank you. Mr. Tokioka, same question. Do you support removal of the current cap on the TAT in order to provide more funding to counties? 2 minutes.
Thank you very much, Laurie. Yes, I do. But I can tell you that the state in 2008 went through the worst recession that this state ever went through. So as a delegation, we realized that it would be very, very difficult for us to take money from the TAT, the transit accommodation tax, and give it to the counties because we have all of these holes that we need to fill. When the state was in the Great Recession, we had a $10 billion budget, and we had to cut back $2 billion of that $10 billion budget. So, you know, what we didn't want to do is, how many of you wanted us to raise your GET? I don't think too many people would want that. So, you know, what we did was we looked at different areas to cut back. You know, we took away exemptions. You know, we took away, we had to cap the TAT so that the residents of Kauai wouldn't suffer. You know, but we capped it at the highest level that the TAT ever reached. So, you know, we want to start working towards that goal, but, you know, it was very, very difficult. So, you know, I understand that the county, we understood that the county needed money, but what we did was we put money into the county through CIP projects. We funded bus shelters all throughout Kauai to the tune of $1.5 million. So, you know, we worked with the county, we worked with the council, we worked with the mayor. We also funded a radio tower. That was all county projects, water projects throughout the state, throughout the island that we funded. So, you know, we knew that we weren't going to be able to raise the cap because there's 76 of us and only four from Kauai. But we did our best to support the counties, and the mayor and the county council was up, were up on Oahu lobbying for that. So, you know, I'm proud of what the delegation on Kauai did.
Thank you. We'll go back to you, Mr. Tokioka. In your district, the median income is just over $69,000, and the median home value is $517,000. What would you do at the state level to encourage development of affordable housing for middle-income earners who are often outpriced out of the market?
Okay. That's a great question, and, you know, I will say not what I will do. I will say what I did do. And I've been on the county council for 10 years. So a lot of the affordable housing projects, what you see in Waipole, what you see here at Kauai Lagoons, what you see in Kukui'ula, the affordable housing projects that we funded from the county, and now Lima'ola, $15 million is going to go into a project in LA. And we've continued to do that. So we have great partners. Kanani Fu at the housing department, the mayor. You know, the mayor is one of the biggest cheerleaders that comes up to the state and asks for money. So we understand the housing need, and it's not what people think I would do. It's what we've already done. And I think that comes with a lot of the experience that I've gained throughout my years in elected office. And a lot of it comes from people that, you know, we work with. We see, you know, people from the Board of Realtors. Chad Deal is here tonight. You know, they tell us what's going on with the economy and with housing and how we can help in the market. So I will continue to use the advice and the educational process that people come at the legislature and give us. And, you know, that's what I will continue to do and not what I think I will do. Thank you very much for the question.
Thank you. Mr. Oi, same question. What would you do at the state level to encourage the development of affordable housing for middle-income earners who are often priced out of the market? You have 2 minutes.
Okay. I'm happy to say that I'm a recipient of a public housing project in Lihue. In 1976, I qualified and received a home at Lihue Town Estate, which was one of 50 homes and a state and county project. Therefore, I think that affordable housing is a major importance to me because it would keep our children and families on Kauai. Without affordable housing, a lot of our children and families would have to move. So therefore, I feel that the county and the state should expedite the permitting process to move affordable housing out faster. And the other thing, I think we should go into private and government partnership and use state property to do affordable housing.
Thank you. So our third question, this one will go right back to you, Mr. Oi. What is your solution to end Hawaii's homeless crisis? You have 2 minutes.
Homeless is something that will not go away in the near future. But for me, I feel that we should work with KEO and the families and individuals that want help and not being homeless. Therefore, I think the first thing we need to do is try to build more transitional centers and more permanent units for these people that want the help.
Sorry. Thank you. Same question, Mr. Tokioka. What is your solution to end Hawaii's homeless crisis?
Thank you, Lori, for the question. And, you know, It's difficult. It's very difficult to end, you know, specifically to answer the question of how you're going to end homelessness in Hawaii. But what I will do is continue to do what we have been doing. And we're working right now with Mayor Carvalho. And Mayor Cavalio, he was a part of the summit that all the mayors had with the governor and the legislature. And, you know, I give Mayor Cavalio credit because he was very, very bold. He got up there and he said, what we're doing now is we're working with the faith-based communities. So he reached out, and many of the faith-based communities, churches right now, are working with the homeless. They're taking them in. So that's one area of resolving that issue. I would say, as far as KEO is concerned, from the day that I got to the legislature, I worked with Maybell and her group, and they do an excellent job at KEO. And we funded them, and if you can ask, anyone at KEO, you can ask Maybell. Every year in GIAs, we give them money because they do so many good things to help this community. You know, they deliver meals to the homes. They deliver meals to seniors. So we would continue to do that. And I wasn't aware of a lot of the things that they do, but they go out in the community and they look for the community. They look for the homeless community. And many of them are hiding at the beach parks because for whatever reason, whether they're, you know, ashamed or they're afraid that law enforcement is going to come and take them away. But KEO goes out there and finds the community. So we would continue to do what we have done, which is fund KEO and the programs that they do. I will continue to work with the mayor and his solution on homelessness with the faith-based communities and the state legislature. We funded to the tune of $2 million for homeless projects throughout the state. So that's what I would continue to do. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll stay with you, Mr. Tokioka, and this question has to do with agriculture. Would you promote a return to agriculture for Kauai and the state? If so, how? And if not, why?
I'm sorry, Chris. Would I promote what?
Would you promote a return to agriculture for Kauai and the state? If so, how? And if not, why?
Okay, well, I'm not sure if the state of Hawaii is ever going to be like it was before when sugarcane and pineapple was the industries in Hawaii. But I can tell you this, that I've been working with the community on the west side and the biotech companies on the west side. We've been working with organic farmers. I see Representative Kawakami in the audience tonight. And, you know, he went out and reached out to the organic community there. And what they needed was water. And he worked very hard in Kilauea to get a water station so that the farmers, I mean, the number one thing that they need is water. So we would continue to do that. A lot of people, especially in the last election, the hot item was what was happening here with the county council and Council Bill 2491. What we did was we worked with the state to come up with the Good Neighbor Program, and we will continue to do that. And the companies on the west side have all been complying with the Good Neighbor Program. So I think... Not I think. I know that that's what we're going to do, and I will continue to research work with the farmers and find out what's important to them and continue to help them. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Oi, same question. Would you promote a return to agriculture for Kauai and the state? If so, how? And if not, why? You have 2 minutes.
Yes, agriculture is important to Kauai to increase our locally grown products, to move Kauai towards being more self-sustaining. We need to support our high schools that provide agricultural classes and motivate students that want to make agriculture a career. I feel that by making agriculture parks that with smaller lots like 2 acres where that people that want to do agriculture can afford an agriculture lot and farm it, this would help more farmers to get agriculture land to farm.
Thank you. So House District 15 has residents that utilize both our major highways, because it encompasses both the south and some of the west side, as well as the east side. So how would you expedite highway improvements for both Kuhio Highway and Kamuli'i Highway? Mr. Oi, you have this question first, and you have 2 minutes.
Well, how would I expedite the...
How would you expedite highway improvements for Kuhio Highway and or Kaumuli'i Highway? You have 2 minutes.
I think the major problem we have right now is on Kuhio Highway from Wailoa River to Hanamalu. And I would think that by getting innovative and using our DOT staff, which DOT has engineers, bridge engineers, and structure engineers. I think it would be able to add, all we have to do is add one more lane on that portion of the highway. This can be done by covering the ditches with box culverts and putting the lane right on there. And I would give the existing landowners, the private landowners, some kind of subsidy for them to donate the land to the state to add that extra lanes.
Thank you. So same question to you, Mr. Tokioka. How would you expedite highway improvements for Kuhio Highway and Kaumualii Highway? You have 2 minutes.
You know, Larry, that question is how would you expedite? You know, to put in new infrastructure, it needs to go through, you know, processes. And sometimes, you know, we want to say let's hurry up and do it, but we need to make sure that we do it right. So a lot of the EIS or the EA that needs to be done, you know, we want to make it quicker. And I know that we have a great team here on Kauai, Ray McCormick, who was promoted to Oahu, but he has since, within the last 2 months, been back on Kauai, and he has so much expertise in the area of getting federal money. So, you know, I've always focused on getting additional monies for highway projects. If you look around Lihue and you look to the four-lane highway that goes out to Kaumualii from to the west side, and, you know, all of the work that we've done on Kapule Highway, all of it concrete. And the reason for that is the concrete's going to last 3, 4, 5, in some cases, depending on the traffic, 6 times longer than what the asphalt would have had. And so when Brandon Morioka was the director of transportation for the state of Hawaii, we were in meetings with him talking about whether we should make concrete highways, you know, in that area. So we expedited that process, but, you know, you need to take time to get public input and all of those things. And I think that's very important to the people that live in the communities that we do these big highway projects. We put into the budget $40 million for the bridge, the four-lane bridge at Kaumualii Highway going west. You know, we extended it all the way out to KCC, and the next project will start from KCC and then go out to the Humane Society, and it will keep going out to four lanes until it gets to the Tunnel of Trees. But that's, you know, going to take a lot of money, and we will continue to focus on that and to continue to focus on the infrastructure improvements in Kapa'a and Wailua. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll stay with you, Mr. Tokioka. This is a question on education. The legislature appropriated $100 million to air condition 1,000 classrooms in the last session. Recent reports show classrooms with broken desks and other substandard facilities. How would you help to promote an environment conducive to learning in our schools? You have 2 minutes.
Our job as the legislature is to approve the funding. When it comes to administering it, that's the governor's function. I think what happened with the heat abatement $100 million was, you know, the governor and the administration, and rightfully so, was so excited about trying to get air conditioning in the rooms before the teachers and the students went back to school. So what happens in the procurement process is they came up with a number that they had for, you know, so many air conditioning units. And if the contractors see that number and they knew that there was a deadline there, the prices are going to go up. I will say that on Kauai, what we did 6 years ago is we put in a pilot project to put photovoltaic in all of the classrooms on Kauai. So right now, the photovoltaic, what it does is when the air conditionings go into the classroom, then they're not going to have to worry about the humongous electric bill that's going to come with air conditioning. So, you know, for us, I would continue to support funding of the heat abatement program for the DOE, because we know how hard the teachers work and we know how hot it is in the classes for the children and the students, and no one wants to be working in those conditions. So I would continue to focus on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Oi, same question. How would you help to promote an environment conducive to learning in our schools? You have 2 minutes.
Okay, first of all, I think the funds was not only for air conditioning, but for cooling. Cooling can be using fans, so long as it can't be adequate for the classroom. But as James said, I know that all the schools are being fitted with photovoltaic systems on Kauai. So that was one of the major setbacks for a lot of the schools where they weren't efficiently supplying electricity for air conditioning or cooling. So I think Kauai is in a good position right now because of the fact that they have photovoltaic and they met one of the major steps to getting cooling for the schools.
Thank you. So our next question will stay with you, Mr. Oy, and this is regarding our state hospitals. We have two state hospitals part of the HHSC system. So how will you support the state hospitals on Kauai, KVMH, and Mahelona?
I think going back to when the hospitals was built, these hospitals were built for public safety. There was only Wilcox's hospital. A person from Waimea would have to travel to Wilcox to get medical care. These hospitals right now are very important to the west side and the north shore people because they would have to travel 30 miles to Wilcox Hospital to get treated. And I think we should still continue to fund these hospitals even if it's at a deficit because it is badly needed and it's for the health and safety of the public.
Thank you. Same question for you, Mr. Tokioka. How will you support the state hospitals on Kauai?
Like I have for the past 10 years, when I first got to the legislature, HHSC was in turmoil. So what many of the board members throughout the state wanted to do is decentralize the board. So I was a part of the group that was working with that with the late Representative Bob Nakasone. And I will say that the two hospitals on Kauai, the HHSC hospitals, Mahilona and KVMH, are not in District 15. But I know, as a council member working throughout the whole island and caring about the whole island, I knew how important it was to those districts. This district, Wilcox, is the hospital in this district. But when we had special session on SB1, I was in a meeting with Senator Kochi, and he was the Senate Vice President at the time. And they were going to close the hospital. They were going to close the hospitals on Kauai and hospitals throughout the state. And what other legislators and people throughout the state were saying, on Kauai, you have three hospitals. Why do you need three? The population is so small. So I was a part of the conversation with Senate President Kochi that said, you know what, we need to keep the hospitals open. Representative Kawakami was in those meetings. And what we did on a special session that only had one item on the agenda, which was same-sex marriage, Senate President Kochi and the Kauai delegation got $7 million to fund the hospitals on Kauai. Part of that was $3 million to pay back the loans to Maui Memorial, and the rest was to keep those hospitals open. So if people want to know how I would support it, that's how we support it. And it's not how I think I would, it's how we did, and I would continue to do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll stay with you, Mr. Tokioka, with a business question. Please describe your specific plans to diversify the economy and spur economic development on the island. You have 2 minutes.
To spur economic development on the island?
Yes, to diversify the economy and spur economic development on the island.
Okay. So, you know, that question is, you know, it's always been difficult on Kauai because the target has always been moving. But what the target is now is educating our youth in technology. You know, without us giving our children the opportunity to learn in the schools, they will never be able to compete in an economy, whether it's on Kauai, the state, or worldwide. So what we did was we put money into infrastructure, into fiber optic cable, into the schools, because a lot of the teachers were complaining that the kids who are working on their tablets don't have enough speed to get to the internet and answer the questions. So we worked with Clyde Sanobe, who was the cable advisory director for the DCCA. He is now one of the deputy superintendents in the DOE. So we worked with him to appropriate $5 million to the schools on Kauai to upgrade their infrastructure in technology and Wi-Fi. So what that does is it helps us educate our children for the future. We also worked with tax credits for the disabled community. Rep Kawakami again, I'm not trying to make commercials for him, but he employed, and I know I am, but that's okay, I love Derek. He employed, and his company, people with disabilities. And what we need to do is we need to worry about that community as well. And I'm sure most of you know that I've been a big advocate for that. But giving, we try to get tax credits for businesses who employ people with abilities. And we've done an excellent job getting, you know, moving the bills through the legislature, and we'll continue to focus on that. You know, we won't stop until we you know, the target's always going to be moving. So it's always going to be a moving, a fluid question. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Oi, same question. Please describe your specific plans to diversify the economy and spur economic development on the island. You have 2 minutes.
Like I said before, I would make ag parks with 2-acre lots and irrigation to move Kauai towards doing small farming. With that, I would develop tech parks with incentives so industry would come to Kauai. Thirdly, what I would do is build more affordable housing so our children that go off to college and graduate can come back, find a job, or, and later on in life, build their own businesses.
Thank you. So the next question goes right back to you, Mr. Oi. How would you improve our state parks and keep our beaches clean and safe?
Aloha, this is Dennis Kamakahi, and you are tuned into KKCR Hanalei,
KAQA Kilauea. How would you improve our state parks and keep our beaches clean and safe?
Okay, what we need to do is charge user fees to the tourists, because the only way we can improve our parks is through fees. And I feel that with the state parks does not make enough to support their parks. The user's fee is the only way, like parking, you charge for parking, or charging for use of the pavilion. Other ways to do it, this is thinking on the top of my head, but have the Hawaii Lodging and Tourism Board look into supporting our parks, because our state parks is what people come to Kauai for, to come to Hawaii. They're not coming here to stay in the hotel and look out of the room. They come for the beauty of Kauai, and they should be looking to funding our state parks.
Thank you. Same question for you, Mr. Tokioka. How would you improve our state parks and keep our beaches clean and safe?
You know, I think maybe 7 or 6 years ago, you know, I got a lot of complaints about the state parks. And for those of you who know Sue Kanoho, she was calling me on a regular basis talking about the state park restrooms. We put additional positions in, and we did a private contract with a vendor to take care of the state parks. That didn't work out. That person is no longer doing the cleaning of the bathrooms. But I do know that the crew from the UPW has worked tirelessly to make sure that our visitors have a great experience. So, you know, part of what we do is to work with the people who are actually doing the job and find out what they need. Because in many cases, in my background with the hotel industry, you know, as a lot of people know, what is a big problem to the general manager is not the same problem to somebody in housekeeping. So we want to make sure that they have the tools. And I remember when I was managing hotels, you know, I would go and have lunch in the cafeteria, and the housekeepers would say, you know, sir, my vacuum cleaner is not working. Jimmy, can you help us with that? So we need to make sure that our employees at UPW who clean the restrooms have the tools. So I haven't received many complaints, and Sue might text me listening to this on the radio and say, well, here's one. But I haven't. And, you know, I think the visitor industry is taxed a lot. We talked about the TAT. Where does the TAT come from? It comes from the hotels. It comes from the timeshare properties. So, you know, we need to identify what they are, and we need to make sure that the people that are out there working hard every day, because it's hard work. A lot of times people go and vandalize the restrooms, and I have no idea why people do it, but they do it. And we need to make sure that they have the tools to do the job and to do their job well. Thank you.
Thank you. Staying with you, Mr. Tokioka, do you support the formation of an airport authority to oversee the statewide airport system? You have 2 minutes.
I would have to say no, and I'll tell you why. Because I think there is a statewide airport transportation authority, and it's called the state legislature. And what is important for people to know about that is, you know, we go through public hearings. They have to be posted so people can come and they can email. And the email system for testimony that we have at the State House and the State Senate is incredible. You know, you can go onto the website, and if it talks about, you know, whether it's Naweli Wili Harbor or KA Beach, you can put in search words, keywords, and the system will send you updates every time that bill is moving. So if you just say House Bill 1500 and you want to know about it, you click on there, it gives you that information. So I'm not sure that we need another layer of bureaucracy, because I'm not for that. But I do know that at the legislature, we deal with a lot of those things. So I just don't think that, you know, we need to have the transportation department dealing with a quasi-set-up board or commission, and then they got to come to the legislature and ask for money. I think, you know, we can accomplish that by doing the same thing through the legislative process, which is a lot more transparent, which is what I support.
Thank you. Mr. Oi, same question. Do you support the formation of an airport authority to oversee the statewide airport system? You have 2 minutes.
I would say no, because of the fact that right now the Board of Land and Natural Resources approves all requests from the airport division. We approve leases, concessions. So I think we are doing a very good job already watching over the airport division. Although, you know, like there's a lot of state laws that was changed to give the airport division more autonomy, which takes a lot of money out of our hands where they can do what they want to do. So I think by leaving it, by saying no and leaving it where it is right now, we have the DLNR board to oversee the airport division.
Thank you. So our next question will go right back to you, Mr. Oi. Do you support raising the minimum wage to $15 per hour as many municipalities are moving toward? And you have 2 minutes.
Well, the minimum wage will be addressed in 2018. But what I would do is visit the issue of what is a living wage in 2018 first, because maybe $15 an hour might not be adequate for a living wage in Hawaii. But saying that, if our state economy and the small business cannot afford to pay for the $15 rate, I would really have to think about it.
Thank you. Same question to you, Mr. Tokioka. Do you support raising the minimum wage to $15 per hour as many municipalities are moving toward?
Well, right now, Laurie, the minimum wage is escalating every year for the last 2 years until 2018. And in 2018, I believe the minimum wage will be $10.25. To jump from $10.25 to $15 an hour is going to be, you know, devastating to small businesses. And when I say small businesses, I think about where we are, and I think about Garden Island Barbecue, and I think about Tip Top, and I think about Hamura Saimin, and I think about, you know, all these small businesses that would suffer if we went from $10.25 to $15. So a lot of discussion is going to be need to have on that. But what I did support when we did have the debate on minimum wage is the tax tip credit. And what that is, for these restaurants that I talked about, if they have tipped employees, they would be able to take a tip credit. And the tip credit was 50 cents per hour for, I don't know, 15, 20 years now. So instead of paying, whether it was $8 an hour or $9 an hour, they would take 50 cents off of that. But as the minimum wage goes up, the legislature didn't find it prudent to give those small restaurants an additional percentage increase, the same amount that the minimum wage was going up. So when the rate gets to 10.25, the tip credit is only going to go up 25 cents. And for all of those restaurants, you know, I had three restaurants, so I know how hard it is. So we need to be concerned about that. And people need to understand that the small mom-and-pop restaurants are going to suffer if we don't take care of the tip credit for the employees. Thank you. I mean, for the owners.
Thank you. We'll stay with you, Mr. Tokioka. This is a question related to the military. Would you support PMRF becoming operational, and why? You have 2 minutes.
Okay. Great question. I'm glad you asked that. And again, PMRF is not in my this district, the District 15. But I know how important PMRF is to this island and to the safety of this state and the safety of this country. I was part of a group as the vice chair of Veterans and Military Affairs that went and got signatures to send to our congressional delegation and President Obama to look towards making PMRF operational. The chair of the committee is Ken Ito, and so he told me, you know, Jimmy, it's your island. You go ahead and you work with the community. And, you know, if you want to put the letter together, we'll send it to the president, which we did. And by making it operational, what that means is a lot of people said, you know, Jimmy, why do you support making PMRF an offensive range? I don't support that. But what people don't understand is the leader of North Korea is testing nuclear weapons all the time. He's shooting up missiles all over the place. Everybody sees that. So if he decides to shoot a missile to the closest state in the United States, it's Hawaii. And that missile will take off from North Korea, and it takes 20 minutes to get to this state. So what I support is us making PMRF operational so that we can have more than one defensive missile there, so that we can have more protection for this island, for the state, and for the country as a whole. Because it's not a matter, in my opinion, and I could be wrong, but in my opinion, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when they do it, are we going to be prepared? And I want to be prepared. I want all of us to be prepared if that happens. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Oi, same question. Would you support PMRF becoming operational, and why? You have 2 minutes.
At this time, I would say no. I would need to find out about what effects would they have on our fishing community on the west side, our housing, and our civilian employees on the base right now. The fishing community might be hurt by not being able to use or fish within the area because of restrictions. Right now, I know for a fact that the DLNR board in about 2008, we approved an easement for the base, which runs from the main entrance up to the ridge all the way to Makaha Ridge, come down to Polehale, where that there's a restriction where that you cannot build anything higher than a cane field. With restrictions, because they needed the direct site from Makaha Ridge to the base. Now, we know right now there is equipment on Niihau. So what would happen if they wanted to shut off the area to get direct site from Niihau to the base, where it would affect our fishermen from using the waters? And I would want to see what would happen for us. As far as housing, if we make it operational, military personnel would come down. And with our limited housing, they would be competing with our local people for housing. And with their subsidy, they would always get the housing before our local people.
Thank you. So we all love Kauai as our home, and so the next question for you first, Mr. Oi, is how will you maintain Kauai's rural character while continuing to accommodate our growing population? And you have 2 minutes.
Okay. I will keep as much open space that we have now, but put agriculture parks in this open space, which would keep it similar to what it is now. And I would try to, I don't know if people on Kauai would do it, but I would try to limit the amount of cars per household where that we wouldn't be increasing traffic on Kauai. And I would think that we would have to plan our communities to fit a rural lifestyle.
Thank you. Same question for you, Mr. Tokioka. How will you maintain Kauai's rural character while continuing to accommodate our growing population? And you have 2 minutes.
Well, you know, I think when people talk about development on Kauai, you know, how many of you can remember the last big hotel development on Kauai? And when you, and I think most people think about development, they think about that. The last big hotel development on Kauai was the Hyatt. Right now, there's a permit that was approved for the Waipole property. I don't know what the name is yet, along the Coconut Coast. But I think the Hyatt has been there for over 30 years now. So, you know, I think what happens is because on this island, and being a former council member, we know that water is a big deterrent to development. So, you know, when the water department goes up and they start drilling and then people have concerns about that and they stop drilling, but without water, you know, you're not going to be able to develop this island or overdevelop this island. So I think we have a lot of things in place that will not turn this island into Maui. And I'm not even going to say Honolulu because this, I don't think this island will ever be like Honolulu. But, you know, those things already exist. And I think that the affordable housing projects that we worked with the county and the state, those things coming up, you know, we need to find water for that. So that's the kind of development that I support. You know, the industry itself, I see Paul Toner here. He's the new, well, not so new, general manager at the Marriott. And we know that, you know, that industry is crucial to this island. But I don't see, because of the economy, and Paul Brubaker shared this with us years ago, Kauai is not a destination island for conventions, so we don't have the big conventions that come to Kauai. We have a lot of the FITs that come, and so I think right now what's in place is good to control the development on Kauai. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll stay with you, Mr. Tokioka. Between fiscal year 2014 and 2015, the total government spending in Hawaii increased by approximately $322 million. From $11.8 billion in fiscal year 2014 to an estimated $12.1 billion in 2015. How would you effectively manage the state's budget to control cost increases? You have 2 minutes.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. I'm not sure where you got those numbers from, but to answer the question, I would say the same way I have for the past 10 years. One of the good things about the Great Recession was we had to cut the state budget to the bone. Again, a $10 billion biennium budget cut down to $8 billion. And you're talking $2 billion. You're talking about a lot of positions. We had to cut vector control. We had to cut a whole department. And so when you go through these necessities of managing the state budget, you learn so much about, you know, what positions are there, what positions, you know, we needed to cut what services we needed to restructure. So I would continue to do that the same way, being fiscally responsible. And I think, you know, I've always done that when I was on the county council, when I'm in the state, because at the end of the day, it's the taxpayers' money, it's your money. And our job is to be responsible with that money because, you know, although I see people here that work in departments, whether it's harbors or the airports or anywhere else, I know everybody wants, you know, things for their departments, but, you know, at the end of the day, you're a taxpayer too, so you need us to be responsible, and I will continue to make sure that we run, or I run, and my vote reflects the same way I would run my household, which is we cannot spend more than we make. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Oi, same question. How would you effectively manage the state's budget to control cost increases? You have 2 minutes.
I would make sure that the budget priorities are necessary to support the health and safety of the public first. And in future budgets, what I would do is work with my two other legislators from District 14 and 15 for the and work towards a budget that will help us get our CIP and our grants to Kauai.
Thank you. Okay. Hey, you guys are going really fast, so we're trying to figure out which questions to ask next. Okay, wait, I need my glasses. Okay, so do you support, so drones are a new thing, and there's controversy on whether or not they should be used and where. So do you support the use of drones in state parks from filmmaking and recreational, excuse me, for filmmaking and recreational use? And this question is for you, Mr. Oi, first.
Could you repeat?
So, do you support the use of drones in state parks for filmmaking and recreational use?
I would think, you know, if they have FAA clearance and they have the proper license to do it, then I would think for filming, I would think this, it should be allowed. But without the proper license, you know, I know you would have to be, you would almost have to be a pilot to operate a drone.
Thank you. Same question to you, Mr. Tokioka. Do you support the use of drones in state parks for filmmaking and recreational use? You have 2 minutes.
You know, I don't know what the I don't know what the HRS chapter is, but I don't believe that drones are allowable on state parks. You know, and I know that's an issue because there are some people that, you know, they come from the mainland and they bring their drones and they want to go and they want to film and, you know, it's very dangerous. So the federal government did enact legislation this past year, but it's still, you know, not defined as what is permissible and what is not permissible. So, you know, we need to come up with stricter guidelines if we're going to let some movie film companies come in and do that. And then the state is going to have to be, you know, a part of the permit process. So if they're going to be out there on the web making money, you know, we should be, you know, getting some of that in taxes as well. But until there's firm guidelines, I would say, no, I don't support that. But with film companies that you know, a lot of film companies come to Kauai. We have Jurassic Park, King Kong. We can go on and on and on. And some of them will start using or will try to start using drones to film in state parks. But, you know, we need to set up legislation to enact that and to make sure that if that should ever happen, that it's safe for the residents of this island. Thank you.
Thank you. Stay with you, Mr. Tokioka. Do you support the efforts to protect medical professionals and others from frivolous lawsuits? You have 2 minutes.
From privileged lawsuits?
Frivolous lawsuits.
Frivolous.
Tort reform.
You know, we dealt with that. My first year, we dealt with that. And, you know, it's a very, very complicated question. Right now, it's handled in the courts. And I remember, you know, being in one of the hearings and to, you know, when you say frivolous, to somebody who, you know, had a surgery or something went really, really wrong in the surgery, you know, it's not frivolous. But to somebody who, you know, wants to sue a doctor, they may be doing frivolous claims. But, you know, I don't know that the legislature, we need to tighten up the differences of what is frivolous. And I know we tried my second year at the legislature, and it was very, very, very difficult. We had people that came that, you know, the doctor left a sponge in the patient. And so, you know, those kinds of things have been handled in the court. And, you know, we need to look at the legislation, but right now it's the courts that are handling it. And I don't know how that we would do that legislatively, other than, you know, what happens in the court.
Thank you. Same question, Mr. Oi. Do you support the efforts to protect medical professionals and others from frivolous lawsuits? You have 2 minutes.
So only going to take me 1 minute or less. Right now, I wouldn't be able to answer that question. I would have to look into it further to see what actually is going on.
Thank you. So that concludes the questions for our State House of Representatives District 15 candidates. So each candidate will now have 2 minutes for closing remarks, and we're going to start with Mr. Tokioka. You have 2 minutes.
Okay. I just again want to thank everyone for hosting this tonight. I do want to follow up on one thing that I just said on this answer on frivolous lawsuits. I do support the medical industry. There's a lot of great doctors here, so I don't want anyone to think that I don't support doctors. But when the doctors that I know, if something goes wrong, I'm sure they want to make sure that it doesn't happen again. But what I want to close is in saying that I've loved my job. You know, I get to meet so many people. You know, what we do helps so many people, and that's the best part of what we do. You know, a lot of times we'll get criticized for things, and I'm walking house to house every day now, I knock on doors, and the reception has been good. But sometimes people get mad at the choices that we make, and I understand that, and I appreciate that. But I will continue to be out there to talk to people, to be open, to listen. And we're not always going to agree. We don't always agree, but I promise you that I will get back to you, and I will make sure that if you have a concern, that it's part of my decision-making process. Like I said, every year I send out surveys to find out what's important. I don't send out surveys for every little thing, but when there's big issues like the Super Ferry, recreational marijuana, gaming, stuff like that, I want to know. And I use that information in the decisions that we make. And, you know, the other thing that I feel comfortable that I bring to the table is working with, you know, the county, working with the state, working with the federal government. We spend a lot of time working with these partners. The mayor is my classmate, as many of you know. We had, you know, right now we have a great delegation in the legislature, and we're losing one of our colleagues. But I want to continue to work. I work well with the council members. I see Council Member Kagawa here. You know, I served on the council with Council Member Raposo. And I know Errol for many, many years. And, you know, Arthur Roon is here tonight. And I think that's important. An important part of the process is to make sure that we all work together. Thank you very much again for hosting us, and aloha.
Thank you. And Mr. Oi, you have 2 minutes for closing remarks.
Okay, first I would like to thank the Kauai Chamber of Commerce for putting on this forum and inviting me here. But in closing, I believe that many times on the land board, we are questioned and we are told that we are responsible for the public health, safety, and trust. And I believe in this day and age, I think we need to rebuild a public trust in government. And if I'm elected, I'll work with the representative from District 14 and 16 to build public trust by going into the communities, listening to them, and also going to meet with the farmers, the fishermen, and the hunters to see what concerns they have, and come back and collaborate with the other representatives and, of course, the senator to come up with solutions that would help our public. And thank you.
Thank you. So mahalo to both Jimmy Tokioka and Tommy Oi for participating. I want to thank everybody who came out this evening and also those who are listening on both live broadcasts, both on Kong Radio and KKCR. Remember that our primary election is on August 13th. Those of you who got your ballot by mail, some of you have already received it. I know some people have already voted, but please remember to vote. The general election is on November 8th. And thank you all for coming out. And I do want to also thank my co-moderator, Chris Gampon. I asked him yesterday, can you help me? So I do want to thank everyone for being here tonight and thank our candidates. Mahalo and good night. Drive safe.
Thank you.
All right. That concludes our live one-hour broadcast from the Kauai War Memorial Convention Hall. It is election season. We will be doing these as much as possible here at your community radio station. Want a big shout-out to Jimmy T, who does Thursdays Out of the Box program here, for taking the remote equipment down to the War Memorial and setting it up and getting that live broadcast coming to you. The listeners, thanks to Jimmy T. This is Dove. I will be playing some jazz for you for the next half an hour. And then coming up at 8 is Blues with Vic the Barber. So.